The first reading shows us what happens when we're not aware of God and don't obey Him. This outright murder to get a hold of a vineyard. And total abuse of the authority of the king. It wasn't the king, it was his wife. But that is such a... And the prophet is going to say something about that. I won't be here to tell you. I've got to go away today. But Elijah the Tishbite. It's tomorrow. Start down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He will be in the vineyard of Naboth, of which he has come to take possession. This is what you shall tell him. The Lord says, after murdering, do you take possession? For this, the Lord says, in the place where the dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs shall lick up your blood too. Trying to scare us into some kind of minimal humanity. But that's this. Now, not so much in this in the book of Kings, but in the book of Judges, there's a whole bunch of stories like that. And after every one, there's a refrain. In those days, there was no king in Israel. So everyone did what seemed right in his own eyes. So the king was supposed to be the guarantor of righteousness and justice. And he wasn't. Same kind of thing in the gospel. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was to mitigate retaliation. If he knocks out one of your teeth, you can knock out one of his, but not two. You see? And so, it's a mitigating law. And the Lord says, but I say to you, don't resist that kind of evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. Whoa! You better to be a Jew, I guess. I mean, this is tough. Right? If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, that would be the military. The Romans, occupying force, had the right to force anybody to carry part of their equipment for a mile. Go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you. And do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. Now, how do we implement that? You know, I've lived in places where the poverty is so extreme. Even Italy, when I first lived there, was still somewhat after the war. The poverty was unbelievable. The only way I could figure it out was to keep a whole bunch of coins in my pocket and give something to everybody. And say, pray for me. At least it gives a person a dignity and a little hope. You can solve that one the way you want, but that's what I used to do. Because when you do that, you can meet eye to eye and try to give this person some hope. Give him some knowledge of Jesus. And so that's... Now, we don't have beggars like that in this country. We might, if the financial collapse happens, but we don't now. But there are many, many poor all over the world. And we can pray and say to the Lord, what shall I give up for the poor? And you can go, I think I told you this story once before. I was praying, And the community had just given me a beautiful leather jacket. Lovely thing. I was very happy with it. And the Lord told me, I want you to give that jacket, give the jacket to the poor. So I said to him, what, you mean the other one, the old one? He said, no, the new one. So I walked across the street and put it in the bin over there, you know. And I never did get a leather jacket. I'm fine now. I got hundreds of jackets. But you see, it's generosity.